Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Seb calls Wembley HQ.
Do you want a game of HQ?
Babylon.
Blue is the colour, football is the game. Poor old Seb White is a fucking pain. Hello and welcome to Reminding You Why You Love Football. I'm your host, Owen Blackhurst. And today, on this day that this podcast was released, Branko was born. Happy 60th to Branko. Erstwhile left back of Middlesbrough in Brazil. Long air, big free kick.
Yeah.
Hell of a player. Emerson, born in 1976, also played for Middlesbrough. We mention a lot of ex-Middlesbrough players on this podcast, yeah, and I don't know why.
Brazilian connection.
No, but always. But the big one, it is Harvey Elliott's happy 21st birthday.
Oh, happy.
Harvey. He's had a checkered past. He's come a long way as a footballer. Had a bit of an injury. I wrote about him a long time ago in Mundell's Future Gazing 2020 issue. Yeah, I wrote about Harvey Elliott saying he could do whatever he wants. His touches, this, that and the other. I'd seen him play a few times for Fulham. And I remember talking to Blackburn fans about his loan period there. I think he's a wonderful footballer.
He is.
Without getting too haunted, lads, for a minute, I do worry if that horrible ankle injury of his suffered against Leeds may have robbed him of the yard of pace that he'll need to go on to be top. But I think he's going to be a very exciting footballer to watch. With me today in the studio, if this is your first time, sorry for that deviation. That's the last time we'll ever talk about football, actually. So enjoy it. Get your fill. In the studio with me today, opposite me, looking like a pretty tragic individual, actually.
Christ.
He's not wrong.
Opposite me, old Balkan Billy himself, Tommy Stewart, the producer. Next to him, in a bloody rugby shirt.
Really?
Sebastian Dennis White, as I live and breathe. And next to him, James Paul Christian Bird. But on Harvey Elliott's 21st birthday, I knew there was a reason I'd mentioned it. What did you do for your 21st, lads?
Well, I was at uni and I went to Bellevue Dogs in Manchester, and I was carried back to the student flat that we were in.
By a greyhound?
No, no. By my then girlfriend at the time. Yeah.
Was she a big girl?
Well, say.
No, but he's 6'4".
Drag.
It's a fair question.
No, it is a fair question. It's just.
A strong girl?
Yeah.
Strong girl, yeah.
What I meant.
No.
She muscular.
Yeah, I was one of the most drunk I'd ever been.
Was she captain of the wrestling team?
Not that I know of. No.
A strong
no.
woman.
No.
You take some carrying. You're 6'4".
No. I was a lot thinner then.
But I bet your legs weren't.
No.
No, I think I... No, I was. Yeah, no, I was a bit lot thinner then.
Anyway, carried home from Bellevue Dogs by your, funny enough, then girlfriend. Yeah. Mm. Disgrace yourself with alcohol.
Probably the most drunk I had been up to that point in my life.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was good.
It was good.
No, I didn't soil myself.
It was that good bench pressed the whole way home. Chucked me through the window, straight into my bed.
Yeah. Kick fuck out of me. Tommy.
I went to Corp in Sheffield, which is a nightclub, Corporation. It's a nightclub that, you know, one of those sort of very sticky floors with sort of 2 centimetres of piss in the toilet. Quad Vod Iron Brew for £2.
Sorry.
And I believe it's only £2.20. Quadruple vodka.
I never heard of this.
An Iron Brew. And it's one of those clubs that will play dubstep upstairs, but then like Limp Bizkit downstairs. And then I didn't sleep and went to Berlin for the weekend with my uni mates.
Oh, dear. And that's why I don't drink anymore.
Yeah. Exactly. Good weekend.
That, when me and James were on foreign soil a few weeks ago, he had a couple too many on the first night, and oh dear, did he not look great the next morning at breakfast?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't eat, and I had 3 pints on my own at a bar.
And you did have to wait for me to.
That's why I went out for one beer, But Owen was fucking bench pressing, wasn't he, on the old Swole Patrol?
I went to the gym after getting off a flight to get ahead of the jet lag.
I ended up having 3 pints on my own, sitting with some French couple.
Yeah, James went out just to experience the bloody vibrancy of the city.
Couple.
What did you on your 21st, Rimbo?
Oh, wow. Well, did not do on my 21st. Lads.
If that's my role, I'll take it.
Greatest weekend of my life. No, for my 21st, I went to the newly opened and highly pioneering at the time Mexican restaurant Oaxaca.
I'm so
Did you?
Yeah, an aristocracy.
Yeah. The one in Soho?
Like, it was good.
No one was doing that.
No, it was good.
Then and they only had one restaurant. Early. So we did that. And then
one
we,
what?
What? What?
I did notice that before.
What? Say restaurant again.
Restaurant?
No, that's not what you
what
said.
What did I say?
Restaurant.
Restaurant.
Like it's a character in a novel.
My accent's a bit fucked, isn't it?
Donnie Restaurant put down the cigarette and looked out the window. It'd been a hard night. John and Jackie come down?
Nah.
Tom?
Me and the crew, wasn't it?
Oh, the crew.
Was it good?
Yeah, I don't remember. There's a lot of things I don't remember anymore. I think it would have been good. That group of people. That
special fucking, bunch.
That it rest, sounds like we restaurant. Had a good 21st, but I am desperate to hear what you did, Owen.
Yeah, come on.
I went to Tenerife for 2 weeks with two of my...
That's pretty good.
2 weeks?
2 weeks?
Our parents, Yeah. My mum got it me as a 21st. As you would imagine, three of us to one small apartment.
Yeah.
They called them apartments. It's a hotel room.
Yeah.
But
it has
one hob on it.
Yeah.
It was really good front knives.
Yeah.
Did you go to Lineker's? OG Lineker's?
Oh, yeah, I went to Lineker's, yeah.
I did, 2008.
Was that the OG one? Was it Tenerife?
I think
this was 99. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah. Run by Wayne.
Who then
gave it to his son Dwayne.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
You didn't know Wayne Linux's son was named Dwayne?
No, I didn't. That's...
Yeah. Imagine that. What are we gonna call him? Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, fell in love with a German girl a little bit actually.
Uh-huh.
Who we nicknamed Einan Betty.
Did she love you, do you think? She like you?
Love you.
I don't think she loved me.
No.
So how many times did you see her?
She seemed a couple of times.
Careful.
She seemed more enamored.
Just trying to frame the question there so I could get him to say a couple.
She seemed more enamored with my nemesis, Einan Bobby.
I love that most places Owen's been, there is a nemesis.
We lived off hamburgers and milkshakes from the restaurant downstairs. What I remember most about it was the hamburger would say about that round. Then it had a piece of tomato as big as the tomato. Nice bun. Strawberry milkshake. 6 more bongs. Back to sleep. Off we go. I had three different clubbing vests I took on that holiday.
Vests? No.
Gets hot, doesn't it?
Any string?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Vests? Wow, yes. FC UK type of thing?
Yeah, I think there would have been an FC UK t-shirt on that holiday as well. Yeah. The
bass
loafers, jaw going, fucking like an old typewriter.
And Iron and Bobby getting off with Iron and Betty in the corner.
Iron and Bobby over there, with his fucking, like, great mental health, his big pecs and his big, strong German penis.
Great mental health.
I don't even know what I've done now. Have I done a review?
Oh.
There is a review. It does remind me why I love football, says Big Alan. You know what I think about? And I remember what I really enjoyed about being into football as a kid? It was sitting in the living room of my nan and granddad's house, cup of tea in hand with a chocolate digest and rich tea biscuit at the ready. Is chocolate digest like Reader's Digest? Or do you think he means chocolate digestive? Anyway, moving on. Yeah. Watching final score on grandstand with the Vidi printer in full flow, getting really excited about all the results. And I mean all of them. Always living in hope. And this is good. This gets to the very nub of why Mundial exists. Always living in hope that someone would get the fabled 7/7 badge of honour shame against their name. And whenever Seb White writes a number over 6, from 7 upwards, he will put in brackets. Look at him, he's gone. He will then write it out in brackets as well, just in case, because of the Vidi printer. It's as simple as that. And this podcast makes me feel that way about football. Most things about the game kind of tire me out. But if there are good people talking about amazing goals, legendary characters, kits and more kits, and all the good things in the game, then I'm here. That's why I listen to this show. That's fucking great, Big Alan JK. Thank you, mate. Nice.
Tommy Stewart, very well written. And
stop saying that. They're real people. Yeah. You're doing them a disservice.
Yeah. And a good pseudonym this week, Tommy.
Thanks, James.
Big Alan. Which is that, Field or Grinder?
Grinder, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
What's Field? Smutty Derek.
Yeah, and Smutty Diana as well. That's the good thing about Field. You know, you've got
the lot.
You've got everything. You yeah. All the genders.
Okay, now, God, I wish I was 20.
No agenda. Honestly, and all the genders.
I wish I was 21.
No
there.
Agenda and all the genders.
There you go.
It's time to be alive.
You do.
Is it, love? Is it? Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Little bit.
Yeah, you just got a shopping list, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We're 4.9 on Apple, remarkably. 5 on Spotify, even more remarkably. Yeah, we remind people why they love football, apparently. Here we go. Adventures in Clubland. Adventures in Clubland. This week is Sebastian Dennis White. He's been into the Mind Palace, the Rolodex, and he's landed up. Well, I'll let him tell you. Where are we going, Seb?
Benito Carbone, Bradford, 2000 to 2002.
Oh yeah,
nice.
Oh yeah.
He was at Napoli, Inter Milan, went to Sheffield Wednesday, went to Aston Villa, and he ends up at Bradford. Now, Bradford have just stayed up in the Premier League. Some would say against the odds, remarkably so, but they stayed up in their first season in the Premier League. And let's just
great
say,
kit.
Great kit.
Yeah,
great kit.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Real big, thick stripes, which I thought was always good.
And I would like to mention it before we move on, because I know it won't come back to it, but great mascot.
Ah! I was about to mention.
The City Gent.
The City Gent.
Yes.
The name of also the, arguably, I think still the longest running football fans in the UK.
And that's Tommy's Tinder name.
Yeah, 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 yeah. When he gets the train down to London. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Tinder's learning under the City Gent. That's not a guitar in his case.
City Gent in Manchester.
Oh, for goodness.
Oh. That's not a guitar.
The powerhouse, the Northern powerhouse.
You go in his guitar case, bowler hat.
Yeah, yeah.
Umbrella, pinstripe suit.
And a pair of football shorts. Copy of the socks and some brogues.
Copy of the Daily Telegraph, and off he goes.
The City Gent.
The City Gent.
Anyway.
I would like to say a big thank you to Jason McKeown, who has previously written for the City Gent, but he is editor of the widthofapost.com website, and he's been watching Bradford since 1987.
And I've seen you've made a little note in the running order here where you've said, the Bradford Seb, if you will.
No, it's timing wise.
So arrogant now.
No.
Needless to say.
No, 1987, that's when I started watching Yeovil. So he is watching. We're of similar age. We have
nobody fucking cares. Anyway. Get on with it.
Right. Bradford, it's fair to say, Bradford, and again, thank you very much, Jason. It's fair to say that Bradford chairman Geoffrey Richmond gets very giddy after they've stayed in the Premier League and they set their sights high, maybe European football in a couple of years, because the big thing around that time was if you stay up the first season, you can progress and build and you don't get sucked back into the Championship. But it's fair to say they splashed the cash. And one of those players that they splashed the cash on is a player called Benito Carbone, who has done very well since he came into English football. He's certainly shown some quality and he's shown some class. But it's fair to say that there were a few eyebrows raised when rumours came out as soon as he signed that his contract was $40,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
Now, to give you an idea, rumour was that David Beckham was on less than that at the same time.
And another rumour was you've called him David Beckham in your notes.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. It's been a tough couple of weeks, I will say this. But anyway, not only does he get $40,000 a week, but Geoffrey Richmond, to convince him to sign for Bradford, buys him a house in Leeds with 7 bedrooms and 5 bathrooms.
Jesus.
So he has been given, you know, he's been given everything, really, Benito Carbone. And of course he's gonna say yes.
Who could say no to 5 bathrooms?
Exactly, exactly.
It's a bedroom a week as well.
Yeah, that is true.
Bedroom a day. So bedroom a day.
Not if you've got family.
Bedroom a day.
Expectations were very, very high because this is a big, big signing, a statement signing. And Geoffrey Richmond is quoted at the time as saying we've got our 20-goal-a-season striker, which unfortunately does not prove to be the case because
Benito, well, he wasn't a striker.
This is exactly it. He's not a striker. He's a midfielder, winger. Probably would play on the right of a front three these days, I'd imagine. But back then he certainly wasn't the striker that people were expecting.
He was an exciting player, though.
Oh,
fair to say, fair to say, mercurial.
Mercurial. This is it. This is, and the word we'll come back to as well. But and things start off really well. He and Jason said he absolutely destroys Lee Dixon playing against Arsenal in a 1-1 draw earlier on in the season, and hopes and are very high, even more so after that. He really just turns it on, and he said the whole ground was just like waiting for him to do stuff. And straight from the off, he gives 100%, which again, we talk about mercurial. He charms the Valley Parade crowd. They love him. They really start to warm to him because he's just the ability and the technical skill. You know, they have heroes at Bradford around this time. Your Stuart McCalls, your Dean Windasses, your Ashley Wards. These are...
It's safe to say he's a different player.
He's a very different player. He's a very different player. He isn't scoring quite as many goals as they would hope, but he's certainly exciting the fans. But there are a couple of goals, which I have to say, are some of the best goals I've seen in the Premier League. There's this one goal away at Middlesbrough. Goalie just does this absolutely monster goal kick. And the touch on... about 5-10 yards outside the penalty area from Carbone, just to take it in his path and then lash it into the goal is incredible. Like, genuinely, Bergkamp-esque, I would almost say. You know, that sort of quality.
High praise indeed.
So unfortunately, they go down, and it's not the season that they wanted it to be. And they have put so, you know, not just Carbone, all these players they've spent money on. And they go down, and unfortunately, things get tighter and tighter when they go down into the Championship. But again, Carbone is that bright spark, that bright light. Jason talked about, he says, the game against Gillingham when they win 5-1 and Carbone's performance that night was the best individual performance he's ever seen at Valley Parade.
Oi.
So, and this is, so again, he's still doing it in the Championship, as he probably should do skill-wise, but again, he's given 100%. They just realise that the money has got so tight that they have to loan him out, so he goes to Derby and he goes to Middlesbrough as well. Mm. But every time he comes back and plays back for Bradford, he's still excellent and he's still just that ray of light.
So why did he leave in the end then, permanently?
Why did he leave permanently? Essentially, Bradford are fucked. They've spent all the cash. They haven't invested any of it in like infrastructure and things like that. They're in serious shit. So it comes to the point where when he leaves, Carbone is owed a certain amount left on his contract. And he gets asked if he would rip up his contract, essentially, and not claim the money that he's been due, which is not his fault. He's been offered a contract at the time and he signed it, and, you know, Bradford have paid the price for it. But this amount of money is enough that if he'd refused to give it up, Bradford would have gone bust.
Yeah.
But Benito Carbone, and he says, I hadn't earned anything like the amounts on offer in the Premier League today. I had a young family, but when I really thought about it, there was only one choice I could make. I couldn't be the person who put Bradford City out of business.
Oh, wow.
Now,
any Bradford fan I asked about this.
Exactly.
The first thing they all said is that, like, not as a player, like, he basically saved our club.
Well, Jason says it's bittersweet because obviously his contract and that whole thing that happened that summer is the process of them getting into such financial and terrible trouble. So it is bittersweet.
Yeah, of course. But like you said, it's not his fault.
It's not his fault. And he did say there were a number of other players that didn't do that. Mm-hmm. That players perhaps you may have expected to do that.
Yeah.
Different club, I know, but I think Leeds are still playing Robbie Fowler now.
This is it, you know, the amount, the money is insane. So I just think he turns up, he excites the fans, he reminds them why they love football with his technical ability and skill. It doesn't quite work out for the whole team and it does, you know, get a bit sour, but he always gives 100%. And then at the end, when he could have, very easy, just said, no, I want I think it's like a couple of million, 2 to 3 million. So it's a lot of fucking money. Yeah.
3.5?
Yeah. He just says no.
Have you seen him now?
Yeah, he looks magnificent.
A lovely narrative arc that is, by the way.
Yeah.
Have you seen him? For a player at a club. Yeah, I've looked.
He looks like...
Tommy's dad?
he looks like...
Hi, Dad.
A steampunk tailor. Not quite steampunk, but he looks like something out of his, like, might be in his Dark Materials or something like that.
Yeah.
As a tailor for a polar bear.
He looks magnificent. And I mean, he looked magnificent at the time, didn't he? Long hair, you know, a little bit stocky. But what a player.
Could
be
talking about me then, sir.
Yeah, well, he could. Yeah, he's a touch of the Carbone's about you.
You're not stocky, though.
I'd just like to briefly mention the press photos for when he signed for Sheffield Wednesday with Di Canio.
Oh yes,
and they get the pizza and the spaghetti out, don't they?
They do.
The world's worst frozen pizza, and I say this with only one taste bud. Yeah, they haven't even cooked it, have they? They haven't even cooked it. They've just taken it out of the wrapper.
It's just out the wrapper,
and it's sort of like falling.
Him and Di Canio took it in.
Yeah,
which, if you think about the sort of budget that they put into signing videos now, if you think about, like, was it Trabzonspor who were doing amazing ones, and Gala were doing some, and obviously like fucking United with Sanchez and those Carnage ones, to just go, oh, hang on, we're signing some Italians.
Beryl,
can you go?
Pop down Iceland, just make sure there's no pineapple on it.
That is what they eat, isn't it? Pizza and pasta, spaghetti, spag bol.
Who did the banner recently saying Francesco Totti likes pineapple on his pizza?
Brighton, the Brighton fans after they'd done the
fruity banner by the Roma fans at the previous leg.
Which obviously said the Queen gave blowjobs.
Yeah.
Which is class.
I suppose... No,
a good back and forth.
Hang on. I suppose at some point... She must have.
Yeah, factually correct.
She was a young woman in love.
I think it's more likely she did than Totti ate pineapple on a pizza.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
I'd agree.
Which banner is more factually correct?
All right, I'm Charlie Cooper. You might recognise me from BBC Show This Country, but I'm here to tell you how much I love Mundial magazine. For me, it's a fanzine of football, documenting the best of football culture forever. I'm very proud to admit I've been a long-term subscriber of Mundial for years now. But if you subscribe, you don't just get the magazine, right? You get loads of other perks. Too many to mention, in fact. So join Club Mundial at mundialmag.com.
Midfield blunt rotation. I'm not sure if this is any good or not. I was looking yesterday and I went down your teams of the years and fucking quarterfinals and stuff like this. But... I floated it past Tankman and the Gooser, and they said, no, it's a good one. So back on February the 13th, 2013, Shakhtar Donetsk played Borussia Dortmund, and it was a 2-2 draw in the Champions League. And I looked at the midfield and I was like, oh, come on, we've got to have a chat about this. So the Shakhtar played a five-man midfield. On the right wing, we're going to start with him, Alex Teixeira. Now, I remember he was like, Liverpool were after him for about 3 years. Yeah. And it kept seeming we were going to get him. And like, you'd seen these like highlights videos come out and he was scoring bangers every week. He had a couple of 20 goal seasons from the wing and whatever. We never actually got him. He went to Jiangsu Suning. He broke the Chinese transfer record when it went like, it went three times in a week.
Yeah, yeah.
When he went berserk. And who was that big handsome cunt used to play for South Africa? Graziano Pelle. Yeah, he went, didn't he?
He
was living in some amazingly remote place.
Good looking bloke.
Did like one season for Southampton. He scored 14 goals and then just got whisked off.
Yeah.
And he played in the World Cup.
Oscar's
only living striker at one point.
Oscar gave an interview recently. He was like, what the fuck's it got to do with you?
Yeah.
I come from a really family. Yeah. Teixeira, he's back. He's unattached now. Very capable and played well in Europe a lot, but scored a lot of goals. I think he was top scorer in the Ukrainian League, etc., etc. Then they're playing two in central midfield. The first one is Thomas Hubschmann. Seb must have come across him at some point.
I interviewed him in 2012.
Genuinely, big defensive midfielder. Still playing now. He's still playing now. He's 42 years old. Looks like a mountain man. Big, bushy beard, blonde hair.
There's a glitch in the Matrix.
There's a footballer Seb doesn't know. shit.
It's the football police. Yeah, we've got him.
Pause the record. Someone's going to pause the record.
He's going to be
fucking hell. Ring Rebecca.
For the benefit of the listeners. Ring. He's typing away frantically.
He's going straight back into the loony bin.
Honestly, never. No.
But if you want, there's a signed card of him from his current team for $28.
Oh,
is there?
Yeah, he's still knocking around now.
Jab the neck. Oh, it's green with white sleeves.
It looks like a yoga kit, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's what I said. I thought you'd know.
Yeah. That's Seb's next birthday.
Still playing at 42, but he was just there doing bits. I think he's got 60 caps for
honestly,
Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Tommy could be wearing his shirt today.
Match worn.
So there you go, Thomas Hubschmann there in central midfield. Next to him, Fernandinho.
Oh, well, it's a big name.
It's a big name. This was his last season at the club. He'd won the UEFA Cup with them in 2008, 2009. And for me, so annoyingly good for Manchester City that the mere mention of his name makes me fucking sick.
Yeah.
Despite how good he is, he was just so good for them.
Moved like water.
Yeah, just so many games where... And he made such a difference. They've got it now with...
Rodri.
Yeah, but he made such a difference for Fernandinho.
There was that brilliant, brilliant video not too long ago of him coming back to Pep's office and surprising him and him talking about wanting to be a coach because of everything that he's learned from Pep.
Wow.
Really lovely little video that was.
That's it. He's back his first club. He's gone and completed the loop. He's at Atletico...
Paranense.
Yeah. Paranense, yeah. He's back there.
Oh, I like
and this is 2022. Yeah, 53 caps for Brazil. On the left wing, Taison.
Yeah.
Taser. Another tricky Brazilian winger who at one point Ukraine wanted to naturalise and get to play for them. So it seems almost out of spite that Tite called him up for Brazil. And he played a couple of times, scored a goal, but didn't really cook on. But he's an absolute legend, Shakhtar.
Yeah.
He was also consistently linked with clubs.
Yeah.
Every fucking window.
Yeah.
Well, it was, I mean...
Quite a few Shakhtar of these players.
But Shakhtar had an amazing PR department. What they would do is bring players in and it was easier for players from South America to get a visa there.
Yeah.
And that was their business model and it worked very well for them. But Taison was... he was sent off in 2019 for reacting to racist abuse.
In 2019.
And he's playing for PAOK now in...
Oh!
In Greece.
Greece, huh? Yeah.
Another good winger. This is a great little midfield, this, isn't it? You've
got this is good.
Fernandinho moving everywhere. He's a bit more box-to-box this. He played a bit more attacking there. Thomas Hoopsman, the mountain man with his big beard. Alex Teixeira and on the left wing. But every five-man midfield needs a number 10. And it's bloody our old mate. Is he our old mate? Don't think we ever mentioned him. Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Oh, Mickey, Oi. You're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
So
one of your lot.
One of my lot.
You might be fucking listening to this. You might be fucking bored to tears by this midfield, and I was by this point. But when I started reading a bit about Henrik, I love the fact that he just keeps moving clubs and then just turns it on for another two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Playing in a brilliant Inter team right now.
I'm doing it. He was brilliant at Roma.
A great Inter team. I love watching that.
He was great at Roma. He's fantastic. But what I didn't know about Mkhitaryan was that his dad, his dad was called Hamlet Mkhitaryan. And his dad was a goal machine for Ararat Yerevan in the 80s.
Oh, really?
Looks exactly the same as him, which I mean is no big surprise. But
he looks exactly like my dad.
Hamlet Mkhitaryan was once awarded by Soviet Warrior magazine, Night of Attack.
Sounds good, magazine.
Do you have that edition? Seb?
Which sounds like something Seb has made up.
Night of Attack.
He was Night of Attack. Sadly, Hamlet Mkhitaryan, he went abroad to play for France. He was one of the first Armenian players to play abroad. And then, sadly, died of a brain tumour at age 33 when Henrik was only 7.
Oh, my goodness.
Ooh, fucking hell.
But they are like, you know, and Henrik is obviously the greatest Armenian footballer of all time. I think his mom and sister both work for the Football Federation. So I went down a bit of a Henrik Mkhitaryan wormhole yesterday. And then I remembered that you must have seen him play quite a few times.
A lot of times, yeah.
And what was he like as a footballer to watch week in, week out? Because the common thing was he was a bit too lightweight for the Premier League. But...
I thought on his best days, he's one of the best players I've seen in the last 10 years at United. On his best days, which were, you know, they were irregular, maybe let's say one in four games or something. But when he turned it on, fantastic. Like maybe like a combination of a little bit of Ryan Giggs and then a little bit of like a Modric, maybe.
Smooth, very smooth.
Just smooth. And he scored one of the best goals, you know, in United history. Do you remember that?
Did
that
he?
Mad, I can't remember it's
I see him I see
that
his,
mad flick.
I see his legs moving very quickly when he runs with the ball.
Yeah, ball attached to his feet.
Yeah.
Like not no foot. Yeah. Just struggled a bit with the physicality of the Premier League, but a joy to watch.
You'd be kicked about all over the field.
And
you've seen me on the pitch, mate.
My mate
Ben Thatcher. send you back to Purton.
There's a Tesco's in Old Trafford between the cricket and football ground, and my mate lived about 10-20 yards from it, literally opposite it. And he saw Mkhitaryan in there all the time, which I just found really sweet. That he was in the one near the ground, not one in Altrincham.
Or Wilmslow.
Yeah.
Was the ball still attached to his feet?
Yeah.
And was he singing, "Let's all go to Tesco's where Sebby gets his best clothes"?
So this is the goal. Sorry, he did a scorpion kick.
What a weird fucking team you had out here.
Oh yes.
What the fuck is that goal?
Do you think that him scoring?
That's better than Giroud's.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Do you
one more, this angle,
fucking,
sorry.
What a mad period in Manchester United history. Zlatan Ibrahimovic to be crossing for the right for Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Paul Pogba.
Do you think a different player scoring that goal would even be more remembered?
Just to provide a bit of context to this, so we will decide in a minute, but the Dortmund midfield that evening.
Oh, God.
On the left, Marco Reus. At number six, Sven Bender.
Yep.
At number five, Sebastian Kel, is it? Kel?
Yeah.
On the right, I can't pronounce it.
Błaszczykowski.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Polish midfielder, yeah.
Yeah. And Mario Götze.
Oh.
At number 10, who, and I've said it on this podcast before, and I'll say it every time his name is mentioned, I wish he'd have played for Spurs.
Yeah.
So they could have sung his name to the tune of Chaz and Dave's Goethe.
Oh. That's an opportunity, mate.
Oh, yes. It really
that is a great
up.
One. Yeah.
I reckon me and no other people in the world are pissed off about that.
Yeah. I'm pissed off.
Goethe.
What are you pissed off about today,
sorry, Mario.
Goethe.
Mario, and if there is one person you don't want to upset, it is him.
Oh, in the terrible.
It is him. So. Yeah. Yeah, probably just go there for a bit.
Goethe.
It's really
Goethe.
It's really good.
Great.
Alex Teixeira, Fernandinho, Hoopshman, Mkhitaryan, and Taizan. James, midfield nightmare or midfield dream?
Ah, nightmare. Not really asked about any of them, to be honest.
Oh,
well, I'm going to be asked about them. But why do you think there'd be a nightmare blunt rotation? You've seen the tattoos on Alex Teixeira.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what I think? It's all a little bit serious.
Oh.
There's lots of serious men there.
I don't think
Mkhitaryan's that serious.
What?
I don't think Alex Teixeira and Taizan are that serious. No.
I think these are quite serious men in quite a serious team at quite a serious time in the world, looking to better their lives.
I would argue then three people from going from Brazil to fucking Ukraine.
Yeah. 2000. This is what I'm saying. No, they're in a serious time in their lives.
You know, you've had your say.
No, Seb? I'd say that this is what makes them dream. They've gone from Brazil to the other side of the world. They've got to make some. They've got to make some real fun out of it, and they show some real bollocks to do that. I think
exactly. Serious people.
Don't get me wrong. Money would obviously play a part in it, but no. I think these lot are having a fucking great time, and the camaraderie and the team spirit of Shakhtar from around then—that's dream for me.
Yeah, chilling dream. For the same reasons, and then I have a real soft spot for Mkhitaryan, and like you're saying, like kind of just follow his career, and you're like, oh shit, he's there now.
Yeah.
So I mainly choose it for him, but I think the others seem like a good laugh.
Shakhtar Donetsk midfield, February 13th, 2013, dream blunt rotation. Under one things to do in football before you die is. James Bird, who always seems to do this, almost as if it's the one that needs the least research and he can just turn up on the day and talk about it. Anyway. Which one should we give him? Fucking that one again. Just talk about his life. Anyway, 101 things to do in football for your day.
What is it?
It's to play a match abroad.
Oh, yeah.
So I was very lucky to go to New York with Owen quite recently. A film that we made was shown at the New York Film Festival, which is very cool. But before I headed out there, I got in touch with a couple of people who I knew who sort of played grassroots football.
And,
one guy called John Culver, who I was put in touch with through a friend called Naomi, told me about this secret WhatsApp group game that happens at 7 a.m., 7 a.m. kickoff.
7 a.m.
Every single morning at McCarran Park in Brooklyn in the middle of the running track. And there's 250 people in the group, and the first 32 people to respond get to play. So I go to New York, and the first day we're doing loads of stuff. Second day I messaged John and was like, John, I'd really like to play football tomorrow if that's possible. And he was like, great, I'll stick you down. So I turned up not really knowing what to expect. But the brilliant thing about this game is that it's at 7 a.m. in the morning. So you have to get up super early to see it. It means, it's across the bridge in Brooklyn. It meant that I had to get a taxi there. Well, I played three times. I got a taxi there one time. I got the train across another time, and I cycled across the other time. Now, it was a brilliant game of football, super mixed ability, mixed gender. mixed age at centre half. There was a 55-year-old guy called Eddie playing, who I believe worked for the UN. One of the other times I played, Jesse Armstrong was playing.
The writer of Succession and Peep Show.
The writer of Succession and Peep Show.
Mad, isn't it?
There's...
Shropshire Mon.
Anyway, it's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant mix of people. But it made me realise that actually, for a long time, I used to say to people that the best way to see a city was just to get on a bike and cycle around it. I'm saying that the best way to see a new city is to play football in it, because you meet people who already live there. Mm. If you go for a coffee or some breakfast afterwards, you're going to go to somewhere. Yeah. All three times. You're going to go to somewhere that people who actually live in the city go, you know. If you're going to want to go for a beer in the evening, they know the actual spots rather than people who've just visited as a tourist. You see the city as it should be lived. And before the first time I played, I was in the taxi going across the bridge. A little WhatsApp came up. Who is it? It's old Owen Blackhurst, isn't it?
Oh, what's he done?
Open it up. Here we go. Oh, you know, a bit tired, a little bit hungover. What's he got? Oh, it's a voice note. What's he gonna say to me? Yeah?
Oh, James Bird, score a goal for me. Score a goal for me. Oh, James Bird, score a goal for me. And Matilda, come hell.
Voice is incredible there.
He's off there. Half six in the morning.
So what time's that? Half six in the morning.
Half six in the morning. This is the first game.
Look at that. No one will need a little pep talk. Yeah.
This is the first game. This is the first time. This is the first time I'm playing, and I get there. All ages, all genders, people from all over the world playing like 4, 5, 6 different languages being spoken.
Can I ask?
Fucking brilliant.
Can I ask? Did you temper yourself your usual sort of footballing? Emotions, which you've spoken about a lot.
I've calmed down a lot anyway. The good man John Culver lent me some boots because I didn't take my boots with me. Some Astros, some Knight Tiempos to play in.
You didn't take yours. Didn't take your boots.
I don't have to.
How did you do? How did you play?
Well, let's just say we did. We lost. My team lost 4-1. John Culver's on the opposite team, just steady right back, always in space, balls inside, balls down the line. But I did score our only goal.
Yeah, he scored
after the pep talk.
I did, yeah. I turned round as well.
Only goal he scored as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think the teams that I were on only scored 3 goals across 3 hours, 3 hours of football.
But you know the difference in the other mornings?
Yeah, lack of...
No pep talk, no goal.
No song.
No pep talk.
I did this, a similar thing. I suppose. Well, it was unorganised, it was spontaneous, but... When me and my mates were at Primavera in Barcelona,
oh God!
And we were it's not a weird sort of drinking story. We were near Olympic Park, and there's loads of fountains and sort of very flat, almost bowling green grass up there. If you've ever been there,
I have. Yeah.
There's an arena there, and you can see the whole city.
The Olympic Stadium's fucking incredible.
Oh my God! And you can just sort of walk by it and look in, look inside it.
Me and my brother went to watch Guns N' Roses in it.
Oh yeah, you did, didn't you?
It was fucking incredible.
Then, I love that stadium.
And then we walked all the way back down. Yeah, there's escalators and stuff.
Proper bowl, isn't it?
Well, Barcelona are playing there at the moment.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Espanyol's old stadium.
It's one of the great locations for a stadium. 100%. Barcelona's Olympic Stadium.
Top of the city. Yeah, oh. Top of the city. Unbelievable.
But not been, Seb?
No.
Me and Owen have.
Yeah. Fuck you.
But there was
not,
these...
Not technically a football stadium, so I'm not sure it should be in the addendum.
It was the...
Ava, open the addendum.
It was the day after the festival finished. And a bunch of sort of 20-something English lads were there, very hungover, and there were some Spanish 15, 16-year-old kids, and it was in the mid... Early mid-2010s, and they were playing just beautiful tic-a-taca football. And we, all being 23, 24, like, can we ask them if we can play? Mm. And had a game versus, like, us being 10 years older than them. We took it very seriously. We got very... And we agreed with the kids, like, can we call this England versus Spain?
That's brilliant.
We won 3-2.
That's right. My best memories of...
But they were better than us.
Of holidays abroad when I was a kid, or holidays in this country or whatever, just, like, playing against...
Strangers.
Yeah. And playing Wembley. Yeah. And like finding out that people called Wembley something different.
Yeah. Even in this country, like you said.
Yeah, called it World Cup or Cup. Or like, yeah. And playing that. Yeah. Seb calls Wembley HQ.
Do you want a game of HQ?
Babylon.
As I walk down to Elysian Fields to watch the mighty Everton.
That's great, Joe.
He was very happy.
It made me very happy. And I think that if you want, you know, we talk about it's called reminding you why you love football, things that happen and sure, romanticise things. But like playing a game of eight aside as like the sun's still coming up and you're playing with a group of people who you've only met 5 minutes before, but suddenly straight away you feel sort of at home.
And you have to learn everyone's names quickly and things like that.
The thing is, like, I think that a lot more non-Hispanic people in the States understand Spanish. So a couple of them in the first 5 minutes spoke to me in Spanish and I didn't do the thing that they wanted me to do. So like one of them was saying, it's yours to collect the ball.
Right.
And I left it for him.
Right.
And I was like, mi no hablo español.
But mi no comprende.
Last thing I wanted to say is that the group that plays loosely called First Touch FC. Yeah, they've done some really nice t-shirts recently, and the illustrator was diagnosed with MS, and it's the one I'm wearing now, and
it's very cool.
Money goes towards the fundraiser for him.
I would like to buy one.
So 101 things before you die. Just play some more side games abroad.
Spot on, James.
I enjoyed that.
Well done. Good.
All right, Statman Dave here. You may know me from such things as that Peter Crouch podcast, the BBC, and being all over the internet. I spend a lot of my time looking at numbers, and that's why sometimes I need to read some good old words. That's why I look forward to receiving The Hat-Trick, a weekly football newsletter from Monday Owl. Stories about heroes and villains, love and hate, last-minute winners, mad shirts, all delivered to your inbox. Sign up to The Hat-Trick today at mondayowlmag.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Internets. James Bird.
Asking for a touch off the ball when you see someone who's got a ball at their feet in the street.
Yeah.
You know, you just see a kid walking down the pavement. It's like, oh, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I love that.
Is this a New York thing as well?
No, it's just, I do it all the time. Matilde's, if we're walking down the street together.
Or in the park.
And there's someone of any age who's got a football on the pavement or in the park, she'll just be like, don't, James, don't. Got 1-2, mate.
Yeah, there we go.
Or you have like people playing cricket at the beach or whatever. Just go and stand with
the
slips.
Ball?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I put it in the Hullet piece. But when I went to interview the first interviewee, Floor Vesling, there was these creatives doing a shoot. Like the lad was doing kick ups or whatever, and they were filming him. I was mid conversation with Floor, but I could not wait to just show these people who I'll never meet again that I could do this. So I ran and the ball bounced and I rebonded it back to him and turned to Floor and said, sorry mate, I'm a kid winning football. He just laughed at me, he said, yeah, me too.
Methinks that might be this one might be in.
Methinks. Let's go. Methinks.
I've been watching a lot of
most of them are always out.
I've been watching a lot of Alistair Green.
Alistair Green, yeah.
He's fucking insane.
He's so good.
Methinks this one might be.
Do you know what? I haven't written down an in here. I'm going to put Alistair Green.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if you haven't watched him, just go and watch him. Punk Squirrel. The man famous for Punk Squirrel has been tremendous recently. I like the difference between him and Josh Pugh. Both do similar things in they talk to the camera. Yeah. But Alistair Green, you're concerned about him at all times.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You are.
The improv chimp.
He's tremendous. He's very, 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 very funny. So both in.
Really good in.
Tommy?
Village Bookstores, which started in Leeds. They stopped Monday Owl. There's now one in Manchester. It's my favourite book and magazine shop. A couple of my mates work there, Cabell. And yeah, I love it. So everyone, if you're in Manchester or Leeds, go there. Go and have a look.
Yeah, Village Books, long time fighting the good fight in. Seb.
Probably 10 years almost to the week, I would say. We had a meeting in a bar in Manchester to discuss doing a football magazine, a lifestyle football magazine, with various illustrators, designers, people that acquaintances that we'd met. And one of those people was a guy called Pete O'Toole, and he is an illustrator based in Huddersfield, and he...
One of the good guys.
One of the very, very good guys. But he has started to do kit history mags, where he is going through the whole fucking leagues and every season and drawing the kits.
Oh, he did the League of Ireland one recently.
He's done the League of Ireland one. He's just brought one out here for the Australian League, and it's just... a commitment, and it's just brilliant, and it's obviously so far up Mundial Street, but I think Pete O'Toole is, again, 10 years ago we were talking about doing various things in football. He's still doing it, we're still doing it, and I think he's one of the good guys that, if you don't know about him, go and follow him.
Nice.
Pete O'Toole is in. Out. Yes. Seb. Fucking Seb.
About five.
Oh, God, go on then.
No, this is really... I know people like the stories about Ava's football team, right?
Anyone can get it.
Five...
Yeah. Anyone can get it from Seb. People with Brompton bikes. Children. No, they can get it.
Yeah. No.
Anyone
5 minutes
can get
into
it.
This game, right? We're in the middle of the countryside in Sussex. It's not the best. It's not the, you know, it's not a proper football pitch. They've obviously made a football pitch from nothing, and they've got this team here, and they're trying to do something. They're a new team. They're trying to create something. One of our players goes down after 5 minutes and says, "I'm not happy with this pitch." I mean, what do you mean you're not happy with this pitch?
So what did you go and do, right? Go and find a dog, right?
Yeah.
And get a couple of glass Coke bottles, smash them up, throw them on the pitch, get the dog to shit on
them
and say,
no,
that's a fucking bad pitch.
Yeah. No.
Complain about that.
That's a
weird
complain
about that.
Yeah!
Whoa!
Complain about that when you fucking slide tackle that and you get dog shit in your leg and your leg falls off.
I blame the Woke Brigade.
Yeah. God fucking hell.
I think what that child should have done is put on a proper football kit, pull the socks up and sang the national anthem.
Yes. I know people like the stories of Ava's team, but honestly...
No, you know what?
Who's got in touch to tell you that?
Oh, people like...
Rebecca.
One bloke who hadn't been to football for about 10 years. They ended up winning 13-0, but they're still talking about the one bad bit
of
the pitch.
I think you're right.
It's his parents like you, isn't it? Molly Coddlers. Ava, I have told you, respect the turf.
Respect the turf.
Whatever state it's in, that bloody turf is on God's green earth. It's trying its hardest to be good turf.
It wasn't even that bad. It wasn't even that bad.
4G is the enemy of the turf. You can't mow it.
Terrible for the environment.
Cannot get a plough through it.
There'll be no turf left.
Yeah. Have you ever tried ploughing AstroTurf?
4Gs are like them 5Gs. They're spying on you. They're spying on you. You need to burn all the 4Gs.
You get them black.
Look at that. Quick. Look, Livy. Look at those chemtrails up there.
You get them. Your combine is full of them black bits. Kids complain about bad pitches. It's not accurate. Tommy.
It's just Mackies. I've had enough.
What do you mean you've had enough?
He gave me the shits really badly recently, and
what
I was like,
"It won't have been the Mackies."
It won't have been the Mackies.
No,
why?
Because it's like so fucking foolproof, and
yeah, it's the opposite.
It's something else.
Yeah,
I did. To be fair, I did have them.
You might have
the night
swine
after.
Flu.
No, it was just one weekend, but still.
What do you have?
You know what from Mackies?
What's your go-to? What's your go-to Mackies order?
Mackies.
A triple cheeseburger.
You fucking pig.
A triple cheeseburger, an Oreo McFlurry, and 20 chicken nuggets.
What do you expect?
This is like a once every 3 month treat.
Ronald McDonald himself wouldn't eat that.
I'm not in bloody Wingstop or whatever, eating limitless wings.
Popeyes, please, but Wingstop is very good.
No, it's not. Wingstop is rubbish.
Seb, what's your go-to?
Hang on. McDonald's.
Triple.
The plant.
They're
Big
only
Mac.
The little triples.
Triple.
The plant Big Mac.
That's not your goat.
Fuck off.
It might be now, but in your glory days.
Come on.
Oh, in my glory days. Oh, bloody hell. Three double cheeseburgers.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What are you all doing?
I don't do this all the time, but I'm saying I'm done with it.
What? Yeah. You done had a Mackey's more recently than me.
It? Who, me?
Yeah.
Did you have one in America?
You had a Big McDonald's after a night out recently. I remember you telling me.
It was after.
You doing?
You know what it was after?
fucking Tyo's quiz with Seb at the FA Cup teams.
Yeah. What did you have?
I had my usual.
That wasn't that long.
What is your usual? What's your usual? Point.
Quarter pounder, chips, six nuggets.
Oh, that's for babies.
That's a good one.
Yeah, but that's because I know that what I'm putting into my body isn't necessarily good, so I don't want to put that much into it.
Yeah, but if you're treating yourself
you're undernourished.
Months.
I eat so much food. So much good food.
Mozzarella sticks? They're good.
They are robbery.
I've never had one.
Yeah, I've tried them once. Not very.
I once had five.
Matilda loves them.
A long time ago, I had five Big Mac meals in a day.
Did you?
When I was 16,
It can't be true.
I think that's fine. Five Big Mac meals in a day.
Five. Fucking hell. Yeah. You can have nine.
You're a human dustbin. You're a human dustbin when you're 16.
Mate of mine, who you've both met, he ate McDonald's three meals a day for 3 years. And he never looked like Morgan Spurlock. He's still the most handsome man in Kent.
Yeah.
He says Spurlock's a bullshitter.
Still the most handsome man in Kent.
Still the most handsome man in Kent's very funny.
He was known across the borough.
Three times a day. McDonald's is, I mean, I don't eat it, really. I get it from my missus every now and again. It's not that. Birdo.
Still in. Shame.
My out is the dentists. I was on the phone to my dad the other day, and he was like, have you been to the dentist recently, James? And I was like, I haven't actually been since I had my four wisdom teeth taken out during general anaesthetic.
Explains a lot.
And then all four holes got infected the next day, so I couldn't eat anything. Yeah. I had to drink my food for a week. That was very, you know,
I've been there.
A shit experience for me. So I said no, and he said, Jamie, that was about 10 years ago. And I went,
You've not been in 10 years?
So you've been trying to get an appointment, and I bet you can't get one.
No, I just
it's expensive, isn't it?
I just don't want to go because I don't like it. It's just that I need to.
But they are a necessary evil.
I know I need to go because my mom said something that scared me. So then I was like,
you've got to go, man.
What an awful way to end the podcast.
Reminding you why you hate dentists and life.
I didn't go for about 8 years, but now I've stuck. Once you get the first one out of the way, you'll be all right.
It's not that I'm scared. I'm also just bad at admin.
You'll be going at 2:30, won't you?
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. Finish on a bloody strong note.
That's a nice way to end the
pod. I tell you what, in preparation for the dentists, right?
He's going to say something bad here.
Just record yourself talking about something you're into for about an hour and then play that back. This has been Reminding You Why You Love Football. I've been Owen Blackhurst. He's been Jason Bird. He's been Seb White. He's been Tommy Stewart. Share it, rate it, read it. Seems like from the way these two have gone today, we're coming to the end. and we bloody loved it. Can we get to 50?
Can we just get to 50?
Can we get over the 5-0? Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Been at Spiritland again. Love it here. It's kicking out there tonight as well. Might go out and have a little dance.
Well, this is a late night record for us.
Oh, yeah,
it?
That's
bloody hell. It's the witching hour.
It's kicking off, isn't it? Yeah. In a good way. Might see activate the grinder.
Do you know what's actually?
Oh, Seb's done it. Seb's got his personal grinder up. It's an eBay card of Thomas Hubschman. Reminding You Why You Love Football is a Monday Al and Football co-production. Produced by Tommy Stewart and Seb White, hosted by me, Owen Blackhurst, and recorded on the run.